welcome to Retro Wars, where each week, me and a friend talk about the video games we used to play back when we were kids. And this is episode 108, and we're looking at Dragon Warrior 2, or Dragon Quest 2, for the NES. Yes, it's a bit late, I apologise. Things have been a bit hectic, as if you don't know, my private life has been a mess, just because we've been asked to leave. Well, not like imminently, but we've been asked to leave because they are selling our house, so things are a bit up in the air. We've been house looking, trying to find somewhere else to live, so as you can imagine, we're all a bit stressed here. But thankfully, I get to talk about Dragon Warrior / Dragon Quest, the second one. And I have been, well, I hadn't played any of them prior to this show, and because of that, now I've finished four of them. I've done Dragon Quest 1 to 4, enjoyed them all, and I played Dragon Quest 2, it was back, God, it was a while ago. It was a long time ago we did this episode, we actually recorded and played it. I was off in Queensland. I was having my holiday there, so that's how long ago it was. Wow, so long ago. But this week I am joined by Chris Copleen again, for who did the first episode of Dragon Quest. And I said, come on then, you could do number two, and he did. So good old Chris from the Retro Hangover podcast, he was like, I'll play it for you, but I don't know if he enjoyed it as much as I did. But he was very gracious to actually do it, because he hadn't played it before, and an RPG can take up quite a lot of your time, and he was very gracious for to actually do it. So I do appreciate that, Chris. Like it or loathe it, I do really appreciate it. But I'm going to be skipping a few things today. I'm telling you now, I'm not going to be doing Sticking Up Your Ginger, and the news is going to be very short. I'm letting you know that right now from the off. So if you're here for those, yeah, that's how things are. You'll understand why. Okay, let's get into the plug, and then we will get into the main show, shall we? So if you want to support the show, wherever you listen to this, please give it a five-star review. Please leave a review. Tell me I'm great. Tell me I'm crap. Tell me this is the best thing since sliced bread. And whenever you see the shows come up on your socials, please share and retweet it or whatever it's called now, because it helps get it out there. Retro Wars is also now on YouTube, where each month a retrospective of all our favourite games are going to be on there. Please help the channel by subscribing, liking and commenting on any new videos. We're past 500 subs, and the chance is now to get to 1,000 subs. Our latest video is on Sonic the Hedgehog 1. And if you want to support the show financially, you can do on patreon.com/retrowars, where for $1 each month you get access to our own show called DLC. Now this could be top 10s, modern day game reviews or gaming events. As a bit of a sneak peek, this is episode 79 and my long awaited rant on wokeism, pandering. Yeah, it's pretty much me ranting for about 40 minutes on a lot of topics. When it came to Spider-Man 2, because Mary Jane canonically is meant to be a stunner, absolute godright stunner, like model, she's a model. So seeing Mary Jane as she is, I was like, why are they making her less hot? Like, I want to see hot Mary Jane. I want to see stunning Kirsten Dunst-esque Mary Jane. I want Mary Jane to be as hot as fucking possible. And that was episode 79 of my chat about pandering. Now for episode 80, due to events that have happened this week, I am going to be talking just about Dragon Ball. It's going to be an anime episode, so I'm just talking about Dragon Ball, so it might not be for everybody, but it is for me. It's my show, so I'm going to talk about it. So next week will be our Dragon Ball. Now, to also let you know that 5% of all our Patreon fund each month will go to a charity called Get Well Gamers, and they're a UK charity which help provide games and consoles to 150 children's wards across the UK. So far, we've only raised $2.75 this year, which isn't much, I know it's not, but hopefully this is going to grow as more people come onto the show. If you do have any games you want to donate directly, the link is in the description below, and the charity will really appreciate it. Now, what else do you get for your money? Well, you get the chance to come onto our Discord and probably talk with the Saturn squad. You get a chance to message me one-on-one, take part in all our games of 16-bit of nonsense, survive or die, DLC, or comment on our game of the week, and I'm probably going to butcher your names. Alright, let's move to the letter section, shall we? Which we call 16 Bits of Nonsense. So 16-bit of nonsense is our letter section where you guys can pretty much ask me whatever you want. Captain N says, Danny can't make a good podcast to save his life, Carol. I love you. I'm sitting in a class talking about producing movies. If you could make a movie about a video game universe, or VGU, I'm coining that, go for it, how would you connect different systems, franchises, or the games themselves? Look, if we're going to be making one, it's going to be Smash Brothers, isn't it? Smash Brothers is the one which people want. Because, think about it. Think about the amount of possibilities you can do with that. Putting Sonic and Mario and Pikachu, or it'd be probably be Detective Pikachu, in all these different things. Like, Link is going to be the Zelda film's going to be CGI, I think. I don't think it's going to be live action. I think it'll be CGI. And that's the smart thing. Try and keep all these things CGI. I think that's what you have to do. Well, I suppose you can mix live animation with CGI. They kind of showed that in the latest Spider-Man film. How would you connect the different systems? It'd be easier if you kept everything CGI. It would cost an absolute fortune. But I think CGI just make it easier for the viewer's eyes. So when you've got Sonic and Mario, because there's going to be loads of different animation styles. Like, Sonic looks different to Mario. They look different to Pikachu. They'll look different to Zelda. And God knows when you want to start doing Mega Man. Because if you're going to do... I think if you're going to do a Smash Brothers, there has to be a lot of films that come out first. So, for example, the Donkey Kong film has to come out. There has to be something about Samus. The Zelda stuff has to come out. F-Zero has to have something. You can't just go, after four films, here's a Smash Brothers film, and then suddenly start releasing characters because everyone will be like, where's the backstory? Where's the Link? But you'd imagine that... Well, I suppose movie Hollywood now has got onto the board that video games can make movies. Sonic has proven that. Mario has definitely proven that. How would you connect them? I don't know. Well, there'd have to be a lot of talking. Like, imagine if you wanted to get Cloud in there. It'd just be a nightmare as well because, oh my God. I know Square play ball sometimes, but to put them in movies, that would just be so chaotic. It'd have to be that they get sucked into this world somehow. Like, I wouldn't use the model in Smash Brothers like they're all models. I wouldn't do it like that. I'd say they all get sucked in from their universes. Maybe through Sonic's rings. That could be the way they do it, actually. Because Sonic has the rings, rather than they power him up, they use them as portals. So if you're going to have a plot device... I think the warp pipe is one way, but there's a lot of heat. Jinx in that is like, hang on, there are warp pipes to all different, loads of different worlds. Like, you could do it with the warp pipe, either one, but I think Sonic's rings would be the best way of getting people over. Similar to like how Doctor Strange does stuff, like with his hands, the ring is the best. So that's how we're going to keep them connected, is Sonic's rings. That sounds horrendous when you say it like that, doesn't it? So yeah. So there we go, there's my answer to that one. Chris Goplin says, Chuck's smutty Saturn Shiro Dud. If the penis had eyes, how would the world operate? What the fuck? This is what I let you lot say. If the penis had eyes, how would the world operate? What? What's the absolute fuck? Like, I'm going to bit behind the curtains here. I just copy and paste these questions and then just read them as they are. I don't, like, prepare these beforehand and think, oh, I'm going to think hours before what I'm actually going to say. I just basically put them up there and read them. Maybe I need to start thinking about that and looking, going, maybe I need to answer that. What is going on for your head, Chris? That could be the weirdest question you and this show have ever had. Does your wife know you send these questions? I don't know your wife, but I swear to God, if I come to Florida, I'm going to handwrite this and give it to her. Well, handwrite makes it look like I did it. Maybe not handwrite it. I'm going to produce it. Like a Chris Hansen moment. Look, you did. Here's the evidence. Yeah, you're going to be Chris Hansen'd. Weirdo Chris. My God. And finally, Raging Demon says, Danny Masaturnian brother. No. How's things? Now that you've been boycotted and cancelled, if you were to cancel and boycott one major good developer, including their back catalogue, gun to your head, you've got no choice. Okay, fair enough. Who would it be? I'd personally cancel Square Enix, as that would cause the least damage to gaming. Oh, would it? Would it? The least damage to gaming? Fuck off. Who would I want to cancel? Oh, like the way that things are going at the moment, rock steady. But you don't want to get rid of the other Batman, the good Batman games. Who would I want to get rid of? Oh, that's a good question. Now, this is why I should be preparing this sort of stuff. Do you know what? I just come in my head because I'm not a PC gamer. I'm gonna say Valve. That's gonna piss off a lot of people. I was just trying to think of like the developers I like of like all these developers, but no, I'll go with Valve just because I'm not a PC gamer. I know the quality they've done, but I know they've done Half-Life and stuff like that. And people go, "You can't fucking do that." Well, I can. It's my show. But I'm not getting rid of Nintendo. I'm not getting rid of Sega. I'm not getting rid of Capcom. I'm not getting rid of Square Enix. No chance. Either Squaresoft or Enix. No. 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 They affect the games I love too much. I'm not getting rid of Rocksteady because I like the Batman games, three of them. Yeah. So Valve are gonna go. The consequences of that are going to be severe because that means you've got no Steam Deck either. That's disappeared. Oh my God, the banners will be out. They will be out well and truly if I do that. So this could be the end of the show. This could get me cancelled because I want to cancel Valve. I'm not going to get cancelled and boycotted. No, that episode's going to happen when we start. Me and Chris have got our future episode coming out. That will probably get me cancelled. I can see that coming out right now. He was even trying to get me cancelled. Ah, the love of gaming. Okay. Thank you very much, guys. I do appreciate that. Really do, as always. God, you guys. Let's move on to the news section, shall we? Which we call Play Switch Box Erect. Play Switch Box Erect is our news section. Now, previously, I had actually set up all the news that I was going to talk about. Sadly, though, if you've been looking at social media, the creator of Dragon Ball, Akira Toriyama, has passed away at the age of 68. And he, or me, like everybody else who involved in anime and all that sort of thing, is absolutely devastated. And I was shocked when I got the news. As soon as I saw Akira Toriyama on X, I was like, oh no, please don't say he passed away. And yeah, it hurts. This really does hurt. And this is all I'm going to talk about today because it does sting. Like, I was at work when I found out and I was genuinely devastated. Like, my colleague was like, so what? He's an artist. And I was like, looking at my desk, I was like, look around my desk. I've got Goku everywhere. And not only that, there's other characters like a Naruto. I've got an Ichigo. And I was like, without Toriyama, you don't have these characters. He was the daddy, he was the granddaddy, you may say, of everything. And there's a lot of things that, like, memes that go around about, like, there's a scene from an anime called Naruto. We have, like, a ninja called Kakashi, and he has his team of three, which is Naruto, Sasuke, and Sakura, and he's like the mentor. And people often swap the heads for Goku as the leader, and then you've got what's called the Big Three, which is One Piece, Naruto, and Bleach, as like the next generation. And now people are even looking about the next generation under that, such as like My Hero Academia, Demon Slayer. So there's a big, you know, the anime community kind of goes, when you look, we go all roots back to Akira Toriyama. And the reason why, I know anime's been around for a while, but Dragon Ball, when, maybe not say Dragon Ball, but definitely Dragon Ball Z, had such an impact, it managed to hit the West, and that definitely started the trend for people to start liking anime. And the influence that Dragon Ball Z definitely had has not been lost on the gaming community. You know, Sonic, look at Sonic the Hedgehog, Super Sonic, that is based off Super Saiyan. That's 100%, he's even admitted that's what it's based off, and the creator of Arma didn't like it. But Kira Toriyama had his hand in Dragon Quest. I didn't. This episode hasn't been done because of this. This was already pre-planned. But he did the artwork for all the Dragon Quest games. He did it for Chrono Trigger, one of the best games of all time. So gaming has been touched by Toriyama as well for years. And to have him disappear, it's like, it's a hole. Because Dragon Ball Super is still going. He's got a Dragon Quest. He has like a Dragon Quest spin-off. Well, I don't think it's a spin-off, but it's like that sort of art style. It's in the works. So it's not like he wasn't working. He was still working. So this is a shock to everybody. It's a shock to me because Dragon Ball is such a big part of my life, whether it's just anime just in general. But like, I always look to like Goku and Vegeta when it comes to when I want to work out. I always like push it beyond I can. To my detriment, because I'm still bloody injured in my calf. But I always think I can do one more. And I always think of them. So, yeah, when it comes to DLC, that's why I want to talk about Dragon Ball, because a bit more coherently, I should say, I'll have a bit more of a script and a bit more of a direction the way I talk. But yeah, this hit me. This really did hit me. I think I think I was still coming to terms with it all, with what's gone on. I know people who don't, who are not into it, that's fair enough. But for me, it is. It's a big one, so rest in peace, Toriyama. Thoughts are with your friends and family, because this must be an horrific time. Well, I suppose for anybody, it's an horrific time. But yeah, it sucks, doesn't it? And because of that, I'm not going to go into doing Sticking to Jinjo, just because I didn't really want to, I don't know. I didn't feel like going full ranty mode on that one. And the thing is, I am going to do Survive or Die. And again, this is kind of, I wasn't planning it, but I am going to do it because we'll go into it when you'll explain. So let's just click in Survive or Die. It's not really planned. Sorry, it's all over the place this week. I apologize.
Hey, listen.
So Survive or Die is where each week we get two characters, it could be franchises, it could be mechanics, it could be anything, and we have them knelt before Mr. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who is armed with Shao Kahn's hammer, dressed in the Earthworm gym suit, and we ask which one of them should die and which one of them should survive to live another day. Now again, we didn't know, well I didn't know, this was going to happen, this is all coincidental, and so this week we wanted to look at the artworks. So for those who don't know, Dragon Quest and Dragon Warrior are the same game, but when they hit the West, they didn't call them Dragon Quest, they called them Dragon Warrior, and had completely different art styles because they didn't really think that Toriyama's art style would have actually had an impact, because at the time it didn't. Toriyama's wasn't really in Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, they weren't as big as they were. It'd be very different as they're doing them now, because all the Dragon Quests have Toriyama's artwork. Like, I'm looking at Dragon Quest 6 right now, I have that cartridge, and that has Toriyama's artwork. So I asked the question, which one of them should die? Should it be the artwork of Dragon Quest 2, or should it be the artwork of Dragon Warrior 2? Now, I'm going to read everyone's comments, but I'm telling you this right from the off. Toriyama's winning, so Dragon Warrior is getting smashed. So I should actually say before anyone, I don't know what the comments say, but none of us knew that what was going to happen to Akira Toriyama prior to this week. So Raging Demon says, West is best here, just like Australia. Douse those even hoist. That is the question for the cartoonish Japanese box art. The answer is no, it doesn't. And this Dragon Warrior lifts the Shao Kahn hammer with its massive guns, because it can, and ew, splat cardboard everywhere. P.S. Cloud is too scrawny to lift the Buster Sword, and also it would get caught on everything, so it's a stupid weapon for him to use. Off topic, but I know I don't care. It is off topic, but apparently I asked this question. Cloud can do it because he's had Mako and Genova cells. That's why he can do it. So you want to get rid of Toriyama's artwork? Oh, you're a horrible person, Raging Demon. Yeah, I'm going to go down this road, aren't I? Shaddock says, I'm sorry, but because I like the Akira Toriyama art style more, I'll let Dragon Warrior be destroyed by Shao Kahn's hammer. See, a man of class. Captain N says, I'm sorry, give me the Akira Toriyama artwork any day of the week. Dragon Quest can stay. Dragon Warrior can die. Speaking weak, you really phoned it in this week. Do better, Danny. Now, he wrote that before I actually phoned in this episode. So he's right. He knew I was going to phone in this episode. That's shocking, isn't it? And Chris Goplin says, Dragon Warrior is dead. It died in 2005 or so, and thank fuck it did. You're on a quest for a dragon. You're also not a warrior dragon. You're a warrior human. Why can't I be a lizard? Skyrim let me do it. Anyway, if you're a reviving Dragon Warrior, let's kill that zombie. No, you want to be a lizard? Well, why don't you go down to the sewers with Zuckerberg? He's one of those lizard people, isn't he? I love the fact that people think there's lizard people running over the world. It's just amazing we have those thoughts in our mind. It's absolutely superb. Yes, but as I said, Kira Toriyama is surviving. The Dragon Warrior box art can be smashed into oblivion. So thank you guys. I know it's been a bit of a, as Captain N says, a phoned-in show. So I do appreciate it. Okay, what have I been up to? Well, yeah, it's been a bit of a panic trying to find somewhere to live. We put an application in, so hopefully we'll hear for somewhere, but it was a very, very popular house, so the chances are we're not going to get it, which will suck. The wife is back in our office now. She's been on secondment for a year, but she's now back, so I now have to drive every day to work with the boss. Woohoo! The joys. What have I been playing? Well, that's an interesting one. I have got shit tons done. I have finished Tactics Ogre, so that is Knight of Lodus. That's finished. I've also finished the Super Mario Brothers, the original. I played the All-Stars version, as well as the Lost Levels. I finished that. I played Donkey Kong Country 2, finished that. And I played Pokemon Pinball for a few hours. So that's done. So I've been very, very, very busy with gaming. I really have. Really, because I'm trying to get a backlog started, because next month, or next a week Wednesday, the wife goes away. I'm free to basically be interviewed or do interviews as much as I can and really bulk this show up, okay? Right, I've been chatting for not enough time. I know I should be chatting for a lot longer, but that's what it is. Let's get your thoughts on Dragon Warrior / Dragon Quest II. Captain N says, like Dragon Quest I, this is Dragon Quest II, and I couldn't agree more. I need to veto these. Chris Coplin says, Captain N makes a good point about how this isn't Breath of Fire. God damn right it's not Breath of Fire. Sucks ass, Breath of Fire. Ugh, it's disgraceful. Absolutely disgraceful. All right, I have been talking long enough. Let's get into it, shall we? I'm going to put some music on. And when we come back, me and Chris Coplin from the Retro Hangover podcast are going to be talking about Dragon Warrior 2 / Dragon Quest 2, which came out in the West on October the 30th, 1990. 3 years later, so fucking hell, we're all old. Returning once more to my show is the lovely Mr. Chris Coplin from the Retro Hangover podcast. How are you?
Well, apparently lovely. I'm happy to be called lovely. I don't think so when I look in the mirror, but if you insist that I'm a lovely man, I will take that to heart. Thank you, Danny, and thank you for having me back.
Oh, I always have you back. I love having you back, and it was quite interesting. I was speaking to the mother-in-law yesterday because we were just talking off camera, off air, how I was doing this big drive to the Blue Mountains. And she was saying, oh, do you struggle to get any guests? I said, no, I've got a few who are consistents who actually like coming on. And you're one of them, which I really like, because I think we just dick around most of the time. And chat shit.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and this is an outlet where I get to torture you even more than I normally do on your weekly Patreon questions. Oh,
God, you freaking do, you bastard. Yeah, you're the point of contention of those things, which is quite funny. But it does make me laugh. But it was interesting on this one, because I said... This, now, we've been doing this for a while, in a sense of, okay, go play Dragon Quest 2, because I did it, and I finished this, God, it would have been nearly a year ago, I think, because I was in, where was I? I was up north on holiday, and I said, oh yeah, go do this, and you were like, oh, eventually I will, and then you went and finished it, and went, I did this for you!
And... No, I did it within 6 months, don't say a year, Danny, it was not a year ago, come on now. You said you got me 6 months.
I can't remember, because I was on holiday. I can't remember when it was. Was it 6 months ago? Okay.
Yes.
I just
throwing shade. Time. You're throwing too much shade.
I'm throwing too much shade. But you were like, I did this for you. I was like, I didn't think it was that bad. You said, is this revenge for Bubsy?
Yeah. Yeah, fuck you, Danny.
Oh, but Dragon Warrior, or Dragon Quest 2, however you want to go about it. It was a sequel to the first game, and it was the first one to have a three-party system rather than the first. I didn't think it was too bad. I had a pleasant little time playing it on the holiday. We both played the same version. We both played the Switch port.
We did.
But I take it you didn't like it.
So you liked it?
I didn't mind it. There were issues. Okay. There were issues, don't get me wrong, but I didn't mind it. It didn't annoy me like Breath of Fire did.
So, I don't know how that's possible, first of all, because Breath of Fire is an infinitely superior game to this. No. Like, in every way. Like, this is... But... No... Come on, now.
Bet the fire can suck a dick. No.
Well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with sucking dick for some people, so maybe that's a good thing in the case of Breath of Fire, Danny.
Very true, very true.
Some people like sucking dick, okay?
Oh, that's so true. I apologize. The Breath of Fire, go ahead. Have fun, knock yourself out.
What you should say is, like, Breath of Fire should be able to go floss its teeth with some pubes, because no one likes that.
That. Yeah, no one likes that. Yeah, there we go.
No one likes that.
There we go. There we go. No, I look, Breath of Fire. Wait, oh, that episode should have been out by now. But like, oh my god, this raging. All right, so we. This is going to be a fun one. I just can see it now. So this is a sequel, and it was made pretty quickly, and it was the first one to have like a triple party system compared to Final Fantasy, which came out later that year, much later in the year. So this did it first, and the plot is there's not much of a plot. It's basically you are the descendants of the hero. You are you and your two cousins, and now someone else is trying to take over the world. That's basically it. Really, that's the plot.
It's actually pretty disappointing. Actually, I don't remember the. Like the introduction to the first Dragon War, like I was almost said Dragon War, which Dragon Warrior 2, whatever. But Dragon Quest 2 on the NES, I don't remember that far back. I don't even remember what it was like on the Super Nintendo. I think this is more in line with the Super Nintendo. This is a remake of the Super Nintendo game, but it starts out like actually really good, especially for a 1987 game. It's
it does.
Like, yeah, all of a sudden you see this castle getting overrun by monsters. You see the princess being shoved into the basement and the king like, no, you must like carry on or whatever. And then you got to go find your cousin because this soldier shows up and he's dying and he dies in your castle. And like, oh, I got to go get revenge against like the evil, what's his name, like Hagrid or something? I don't know. But like,
it is Hargon. Is it Hargon?
Hargon.
Hargon.
Hargon?
Yeah.
Okay. Hargon. So you have to get revenge against the evil Hargon. And they're like, okay, go find your cousin. And there's like this like kind of whimsical search for him. And that actually gives the prince some personality, which is like, oh, okay, I'm going to get some storytelling here. And then like you find the princess and all of a sudden it's like, yeah, no story anymore, huh?
No.
What about
it? There's no story. You got five. All right, it's basically go find these five crests, which suddenly just come. It's like, okay, they just suddenly appear in the plot. That's fine. It's like, basically, we don't know what to do. Find these five MacGuffins. Or Spider-Man calls them goobers. Find the fine goobers, and then you're done. I was like, okay. Oh, fuck it. We'll do that. Look, I wasn't there for the plot. I sat there going, I'm not here for storytelling. Maybe you can say, oh, that's not an excuse because there should be by that time. But I was like, yeah, I know what I'm getting myself into. I just want to finish it and just see what it's like. You know, I went in with a three-party system. That's what I was kind of more excited for, to see how that looked.
Sure.
Then there are problems with that, but they gave it a go. What I will laugh about, though, you're saying about, you know, you find the cousin. These are some of my main gripes. I'm going to get these out the way because, oh, fuck me. There's some big gripes in this sense. So you play basically the tough, let's call him the soldier version. And he can only attack. And yeah, one of your cousin's knights rocks up and goes, oh, we're dying. And the king goes, right, you go. Go save your cousin. It's like, well, send the fucking rest of you. Send an army. Why just him?
Because he's the hero, and that's what heroes do. But, like, you make a good point, is that you're the hero here. Mm. And the previous hero, because you're a descendant of Erdrick, so are your cousins, obviously, and they've all... Mm. First of all, it's only been 100 years, and it seems like there's been a lot of... like bloodlines going on, like a lot more than 100 years.
There's only three people. I was like, I think there'd be more than three.
Still, no, I think there'd be less than three. We're talking 100 years, and you have like three kingdoms in an entirely different continent.
Oh, that's like that, that's a good point.
It seems like it should be more than 100 years. But in any case, you're the hero, and I like Akira Toriyama, and I'm not saying the character designs in and of themselves are bad. But they don't match. Like, you with your fucking pilot goggles and shit. I don't get it. But You don't have any magic. You don't. You're the
plane.
The original hero was a one man wrecking crew. I mean, he's not the original hero. We know this in Dragon Quest III, but he could do everything.
Yeah,
just cast spells, just mow down enemies, whatever the case might be. And here you are, the descendant, and all you can do is attack. It's like, what happened? It's only been 100 years. The bloodline hasn't been tainted that much, has it? This is lame.
Yeah, why can't I do shit? This is ridiculous. This is stupid. So he basically gets told by the king, right, I can't be arsed. I'm not sending you an army. You on yourself, go save everyone. And this is also my next pet gripe. It's like, you go out and have a wander of your castle, and there are doors you can't access. It's your fucking castle! Open the fucking door!
It's not like you're a knight. Yeah, you're the fucking prince of that castle, too. Also, good point. You brought up a good point. Like, how old's the king?
Yes,
like, why couldn't,
exactly.
Why couldn't...
You go?
He couldn't be fucked to get off his ass to go save the world. He's like, no, my 14-year-old or 16-year-old son. This is your responsibility. The world is in your hands. What the fuck were you doing, you fucking clown? At least the princess has an excuse. Her dad's dead.
Yeah, and this is the thing. This is like ye olde times when they were fucking, they were making kids early. He'd be in like his 20s, his late 20s, early 30s. He'd be in his prime.
Yeah. He'd be a gruffled veteran. Like,
yes.
They should have said, like, he was injured in some war or something like that. At least give me a reason, like, to think that this king is a giant fucking waste of life. I don't know where the queen is. Maybe he's depressed over that. And maybe he's too preoccupied with his pocket pussy that was handed down over the years. So that's probably why he's sending you.
Maybe took an arrow to the knee.
that might be it, too. That might be it, too. Just took too many arrows to the knee. If the pocket pussy looks like an arrow. I don't know why you put it on your knee, though.
Oh, if you don't want to move out of the pocket pussy, just, it's the greatest item ever. It's the most dangerous item ever in an RPG.
Yeah.
Go find the previous episode to explain that one.
Which, looking back, doesn't make sense, because I think I meant to say fleshlight, but I'm going to stick with the pocket pussy.
You're sticking with the pocket pussy. Yeah. Now, you basically... You can name your character, and although there's certain names you can do, and that then dictates... This isn't the original. It dictates the names of what your cousins are going to be called. But you basically get told, go find your first cousin, who is Sinnoh or Canuck, something like that. Canuck. Go find him. And oh my god, this is the most painful experience I've ever had in an RPG. So you're trying to find him, right? And you say, oh no, he's gone here. And you go, okay, I'll go next place. Oh, no, you just missed him. He's gone here. For fuck's sake. And this happens four times.
It's annoying.
Four times? That's ridiculous.
It's so annoying.
Sit still.
And, like, the good thing about this part is at least the NPCs help you out.
Yeah.
Because later in the game, they really fucking don't.
At least they go, yep, that's where you need to go. Go there. Later on, it's like, ooh, there's a potential direction you may need to go, but I don't know which direction it is. Now, fuck off. Fuck off.
Have you heard there's an item somewhere in the east? Yes. Where in the east might it be? Somewhere where the grass is. It's all grass. Yes! Look there!
Where there are four bridges. Yes, okay, I'm at four bridges. It's somewhere here. It's like, this is a big map. This is a big map. What are you playing?
Bigger
at?
Map.
It's a bigger map, yeah, compared. Now, you eventually find your cousin in bed, and he has like a predetermined name depending on it is in the RPG. However, we played the version on the Switch. So what did you call him?
I let the game name them for me. I don't know if there's a standard name. Well, they like asked, like, what do you want to name the characters? And I didn't know if it was the standard or not. And I was like, I don't want to fucking name them. I don't care. Just give me whatever the default names were. So it was Kine and Linda.
Oh, I called him Shin-chan.
Oh.
Okay. I don't know why. And Sepsis.
Sepsis. That gives me a pretty good feeling about how I felt while playing this game. Pretty good description of that.
I was trying to remember what I called him. Like, literally, I had to run back up because it was a bit late. I had to run back up to get my notes and my Switch. Like, what did I call him? I knew I called him. And then I opened it, Princess Sepsis. I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. What was going on in my head at the time to call her? So the whole game, I've just got Sepsis on my screen.
You know what? You should have named her Princess Objection.
Oh, well, this was before Objection. So now I think there will have to be a Princess Objection. At some point, there'll be a Princess Objection.
What's her real name? You'll never know. You have to wait until the objection lifts.
Oh, that's superb. That's superb. Now, you basically, you get, we're going to call him Shin-chan. So you get Shin-chan. And he can basically use physical and magic. He's kind of like a bit of both. He's like a C in both. But the problem is, he's shit.
No.
He died. No, he died so much for me. I was like, I don't need you. You go back. I'll just keep Sepsis and me, Kagzi. I'll just keep those two and we'll crack on. We'll be fine. You go back to bed.
I disagree. I think Shin-Cham is a fine character. I had no issues. Maybe because I just overleveled a bit because I had to grind for gold so fucking much in this game that ended up giving me a lot of levels because the enemies do not give you a lot of gold. They just don't.
They don't.
Yeah. So I spent probably way too much time grinding for gold. So Shin-Cham was decent. Plus, he has the best healing in the game, I think. Not like the best attack, but like if you need a healer, and Sepsis is a fine healer too, but he's just a more reliable healer, I think. So
yeah, when Sepsis she's more reliable.
Yeah. So I don't think he sucks. I think he's fine. I think that Sepsis sucks until later in the game when you have enough MP where you can cast Kaboom reliably.
That happens, God happens. Oh, it's amazing. Oh, yeah. Reliable Kabooms. Can you imagine walking in the field and just going, kaboom, kaboom, kaboom? You're like, the fuck going on with you? Shut up.
Yeah.
You have to go get air as well, which is a pain in the ass.
It's not really a pain in the ass. She's a lot... Hers makes a lot more sense than Shin-Cham, I think.
It does. Yeah. So she's a doggy.
Would you say she's a royal bitch?
She's a royal bitch because she's a doggy. Oh, I saw the link there. I saw what you did. And so she's been turned into a dog. You don't know that at first because this dog just starts following you. And then you basically go find her castle and you find, oh, it's all messed up. And you basically get told you've got to go find a mirror by four bridges and then show that to her. And hence begins one of the problems, like, thank fuck I use guides. Because you eventually have to find these four bridges, and it's like, well, it's somewhere here. Pick a spot. Yeah. It's like,
well, in the Switch version, you at least get like a little glimmer.
Correct. Yes. But if it was the NES version, oh my God, no.
Yeah, it would completely fucking suck. And that's not even the worst offender, because I think you could find it because the NPCs are like, yeah, it's in the middle of the poisonous swamp by the four bridges. Like, oh, okay, that's fine. And I don't know if that's in the NES version or not. No idea. But the worst one, and this even kind of pissed me off in this version, I can't remember what the item was, but there's an item, I don't know, I don't think it's required, but it might be, in the middle of the fucking ocean. What the fuck?
And you don't get a map?
No. Well, I mean, you do. You have a map.
You have a map in the guide. Guidebook.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's all you got. You didn't get, and the Switch version may be different, but you have to do your own cartography in the freaking other one. It's like, oh, that would have been horrible.
That'd have been so fucking bad. Just in the middle of the ocean, because this item, there's no land around it. Wide open part. Yeah. You have to like just go around the ocean and rapidly press A. And to find this item. But you're right, Danny. I would much rather play this than Breath of Fire. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, I play this all day. I stand by that. I'm not
fucking liar.
I'm not coming down from this pedestal. I refuse to come down. I will die.
You're too deep now.
I am too deep. I am literally, this is it. I have put all my chips in. I'm dying on this hill. It's great. Oh. So you get Princess Sepsis, and then you've now got three party members, so she can only use magic. And now the whole premise of the previous game was that it was one-on-one. It was just you, the hero, versus the enemy. So it was like mano a mano. Now you've got a party, but also they have more. So they can have like up to, I think it's like 5 enemies. And there's a bit of strategy involved. It's not perfect. Don't get me wrong. I think in the original NES version, if, say, all of you went and dogpiled on one enemy and then it died straight away, that's the end of your turn. Golden Sun does the same thing, which really fucks me off. That basically it doesn't like jump to the next enemy. The Switch version does, but the NES version, and yeah, if you play Golden Sun, you'll know exactly what I mean. It basically, that's the end of your turn. It's like, no, go to the next enemy, you dickheads. Don't stop attacking. Attack that one.
Fuck. It's like you're attacking a dead body. Like, no, I'm not. But yeah, right. The Switch version doesn't do that. The Switch version is smart.
The Switch version has a brain. Golden Sun doesn't have a brain. So again, wait until that. Now they each have their own item collection, which is always annoying. I do hate when things do that rather than just one big box. But basically, you have to have. There's some strategy involved, and I think this was the first game to do it, so we have to give it some leeway in the sense of, you know, Final Fantasy is always the one that, you know, is so revered in that sense. But that wasn't until, like, the end of the year. This was beginning of the year. So I always go, fair enough, we'll give it that respect. Give it that sense of, you know, have it a go. And I think it was... we're playing the Switch version, so I can't say, but I didn't think it was too bad. I thought it was all right.
So I can respect something, Danny, but... You know how old I was when this game came out? I was 2, so I didn't play it in 1987. I played this game for the first time probably in the mid-90s.
Mm.
So, well, I can... And I didn't give a shit about respecting where it came from in the mid-90s. Like, my brain hadn't developed that way. You know, it's like, this kind of sucks compared to every other RPG out nowadays. And it's weird because Dragon Warrior 1, I think, still holds up, like, really well. In terms of respect, yeah, I completely respect this because it is the first JRPG to have a party system and to have multiple characters that you have to command. It's not a first in the it's not a first in the RPG spectrum in and of itself, because you did have PC RPGs that it's heavily based off of, whether it be Wizardry or Ultima, where you had multiple party members, and which is where it got a lot of inspiration from. But in terms of the JRPG itself, yes. I mean, it's still trying to figure out how to get that watered down version of the PC gaming experience with multiple party members. So in terms of respect, 100% respect the fact what Dragon Quest II was doing. It doesn't mean I have to like it, though.
No, yes, that's true. You don't have to like it. And that's why we have... life would be boring if everybody liked the same things, wouldn't it?
Exactly. And that's why I like Breath of Fire.
Fuck off. Just no.
That's the last time I'll mention Breath of Fire now. I'm sorry.
Bullshit. Bullshit. It'll be coming back. And so, as part of the story, now, for those who haven't played the first one, now I played the Game Boy version of Dragon Quest 1, but I could have played it on the Game Boy for Dragon Quest 2 as well because they came together. But I thought, yeah, fuck it. I want to play it on a bigger screen. This world is much bigger than the first one. I think it's like at least double the size of the first game. And to emphasize that, you get a boat. And your boat makes the game absolutely massive. And if I was playing the NES version, I probably would be tearing my hair out because, like, where the fuck am I meant to be going? Thank God for guides. That's all I can say. Because I was like, this is a big world and I don't know where I'm going. I know. Where do I go?
Well, I mean, going back to the 1987 point, I think, you know, imagine being a child in 1987, now a Japanese child, because it didn't come out in the United States until, like, I think 90 is when we got, maybe 89. I don't know. It came out much later. But imagine being a child in 1987. You have no guides and this big open world. And it's just like, you say, oh no. But, like, at the same point, it's like, go explore. Talk to everybody.
Yeah. That can't be quite cool, actually, with that sense of exploration. Like that Legend of Zelda thing, isn't it? It's like, you don't know any difference. So, we're used to having maps and stuff, like, you know, detailed maps and detailed guides, but maybe because we've had that, going back is quite scary, but for going back then, it's like, you don't know any different. So it's like, wow, this is all... This is the first time we've seen a video game for some people. It's like, okay, this is quite cool.
Well, it's like for us, we always are like, yeah, it sucks to grind. We hate grinding. We don't like grinding. I like grinding, but a lot of people say that. But if you go back then, if you didn't know what you were doing, you just spend so much time wandering around looking for what to do next that it wouldn't necessarily be considered grinding. It's just the process of exploring. So having this bigger map and now like having the amount of gold being so low towards the items that you need to get in order to progress, it all makes a lot more sense in terms of how the game is so boring and monotonous and grindy, because the entire point of it is so that, hey, this is your game for like the next 6 months and you're not getting anything else. So like, go figure it out.
Deal with it. That's what you've got to play with. And you know, you mentioned you were two. I think I was a month old when this came out.
See, you couldn't have played it then. Well, maybe you could have. Maybe you're some sort of fucking experimental lab baby and you're a prodigy.
No. I was still on mummy's boob. I was still in mum's boob having a time of my life. So I was happy doing that.
I mean, have you seen Boss Baby?
I've not. Well, I've seen trailers of Boss Baby.
Me too. I've not actually watched them.
He's a trap. It's a trap. I could.
Looks
have
like he could
baby.
Play some Dragon Quest.
He could probably play some Dragon Quest. I'll give you that. Now, essentially, you are right. You can go explore, and at one point, you find this town where there's no men. I was like, Shinshan and Kagzi are having the time of their life. It's like, right, Sepsis, you go off and solve everything. We're gonna go talk to all these women. Death by snoo-snoo.
Yes. Well, you get some Puff-Puff in a different town.
You do get Puff-Puff. I completely forgot about Puff-Puff. Oh, my God. It's clear as day what you're getting. Yeah.
Yes. I like how you're getting the entire Shakespearean word around it, too. Like, doth mine sweet prince want a fine Puff-Puff, sirrah? Give me the finest of puff a puff, madam.
Puff, puff, puff. They left that in. I was like,
they did.
Oh, holy shit! This is prostitution. Wait. No, I'm just encouraging that. And Nintendo aren't saying anything. Okay, I'm in.
Which city, by the way? Oh, Nintendo doesn't say anything anymore. Looking at the eShop, you can buy all sorts of porn games. But which city was the one with all women?
Oh, shit. I can't remember. I didn't write that down.
I can't remember. Because I just viewed all cities as just cities with just people in them, so...
No,
I probably picked Amit while I was playing, but...
Right, so this town had this amazing security system where you needed to get through, but if you even stepped one step on it, you lost, like, a chunk of health. And I was like,
I hated those.
And there's like 12 steps you've got to go through. And it's not just you gets hurt. The whole party gets hurt. It's like, oh, fuck. Fuck.
And I think it's 20 hit points per step.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
It's brutal. So you're healing. You've got to heal as you're walking everyone. And they do this multiple times in the game.
That's not fun.
That isn't fun. Even if you're max level, you still heal. There's no way even max level characters can get through these traps. This is annoying. That is a big piss me off.
Yes, they can. The prince gets a spell. You know, your worthless prince that you hate so much.
Oh, he does. He gets a spell. He does. Yeah. He does.
I think it's called Safe Passage.
Yeah, he gets Safe Passage. Although there is one point where you get this water cloth. And the water cloth can basically help you go over it. But it's like, you get one. It's like, there are three of us. Three of us. I need three, not one. That's pointless.
The prince used it as a cum rag, and now it's.
It's like, just give it to the one who can actually heal. She'll be all right. But what I did like, I thought it was quite funny. If your party member died in the first one, if the hero died, he was like back to the king, and the king would mock you and go, "What the? You dickhead! You died." But in this one, in the NES version. The party member becomes a ghost until you can go revive them. But in this one, they become a casket. I was like, that's class. That's class. Yep.
It's great. Like, they're actually dead. They're not fainted like some sort of pussy-ass Pokemon situation. Yep. Oh, they fainted. They're not dead. They're just sleeping. No, they're dead, bitch. Like, right here, that's a coffin.
That is a coffin, and I laughed when I first saw it. A ghost I could live by, but a coffin is like, that's quite funny, because you imagine they're trying to complete this adventure and they're just dragging this big ass coffin, oh, for fuck's sake, to the next town.
What I didn't like about that though, because like in the original Dragon Quest, you get sent back to the king.
Correct.
Which kind of does suck, because there's only one place to save, which is a problem they fixed for Dragon Quest II. 100% correct. Respect that. You can save in a lot of places, even in the NES version. The thing that sucks about when your characters die is that if you have one dead character, there isn't a way to revive them until much later in the game.
And that's once.
Yes. Well, no, that's because the princess gets a spell, I think, that you can revive.
Oh, she does. Yes, she does. Yes, yeah. Apologies.
So, but you can only have one item that can revive a character, and you can only hold one of them. Now, you can go back and get this item as much as you want, and it's free. And you have to use this item somewhere towards the end of the game in order to revive one of your party members, which is dumb. It's incredibly dumb part. Yeah, so, yeah, fucking Shin Sham. Fucking, I can understand why you hate him.
See?
Because it's such a, that is such a dumb part, by the way. Could you imagine, like, again, going back to your guide comment, could you imagine having the Yggdrasil leaf? Yggdrasil leaf. I don't know. The tree leaf. And it's in your inventory, and here this twat is laying on the bed, and he's like, oh, I'm too sick to go. And you're like, oh, no. Oh, I guess I gotta move forward. Because if you're a kid, that's the only thing you're thinking, like, oh, he just left my party. So you're gonna try and go, and it's like, oh, man. And then NPC's like, you gotta do something to cure him. You're like, I don't know how to cure him. And then you figure out that this thing that's been in your party that you may have found inadvertently from just exploring everywhere, and you didn't give it to him. That's the thing that needs to revive him.
Yeah, that. And you're, a leaf. A leaf. And it's like, the princess is going, heal. Full heal. Everything heal. No. Nothing. No. Revive. Nothing. Absolute bullshit. Just let him die, then I'll revive him. Then we haven't got an issue. And the thing is, though, this leaf is a dick to get, because you have to go to this random tree in the middle of the water, right? And so if you're doing your cartography, right, there it is. It's a freaking leaf. Why can't you just... Do you know how heavy a leaf is?
Apparently this one's very heavy.
Apparently this one takes up all your inventory, and then you can only take one.
It's like Hobbit bread.
Yeah, it's like Hobbit bread. It's like Hobbit bread. It's like, literally just go, I'm looking at a tree right now. I'll take all the leaves. I don't see what the issue is. The tree's not going to be saying, is the tree got like it? No, you shall take one of my leaves. That's enough. No more. Fuck off. Just cut the tree down. Take it all.
You don't want to cut it down. You want to uproot it and replant it somewhere useful, because it's in the middle of nowhere. Don't cut it down.
Well, that'd be inappropriate. Yeah.
That'd be kind of mean. You need to exploit it, Danny. And sell the leaves.
Sell that. There we go. See? That could have been handy, like, just put it by Hargon's house. Right. It's the final battle here, mate. I'm not going to have an issue beating you. Just roll over and die. And we haven't got... I don't see that magic tree I've just planted by your house. Don't go near that.
And he's not that hard. Like, the final boss... Like, not the final boss. The final boss is pretty difficult. I mean, it wasn't for me, because I had just, like, grinded into fucking stratospheres. Mm-hmm. Of being way too high levels, just because, mm-hmm. again, mostly grinding for gold. But I could imagine that final boss being pretty hard, because you gotta really know your systems in order to take care of it. But other than that, like, the final boss, Hargon, is not hard.
They had a problem in the original NES version where they didn't have time to test it, and the last third of the game, and the last part of the game, you know where it is. It's basically when you get to, like, the snowy mountains, and it's basically on the way to Hargon. They didn't have a chance to playtest it, so
I can tell.
The difficulty spike is so high. And
it's ridiculous.
I don't even know why in the Switch version they just didn't lower the levels of the enemies. They just left it as it is. So what you need, basically, when you get to the snowy areas, you get to this point in the game where there's a warp map, there's a priest, and a lot of snow. That's where you grind, and you literally spend hours grinding. Literally, I think it's like 10 to 15 levels or something stupid. It's a big jump to do it. And like the guy was like, this even said, this is your life for the next portion of the game. I was like, okay. I don't know why, even in the Switch remake, they didn't just go, okay, we'll lower everything a little bit so it doesn't break up that feeling of just having to grind, because that was a pain in the arse. Like, luckily, I was, again, on holiday, so I was sitting watching TV while the little one had gone to bed, so it wasn't too much of a killer. But what a way to take you out of the immersion.
And I'm one of those people that gets very upset when they make games easier, for the most part. Not in every situation. Mm. This situation, I think some rebalancing was heavily called for, because you have enemies that if you don't kill in a certain amount of turns, if you get into a new turn and they have low HP and they are faster than you, they will one-hit KO not just one character, but your entire fucking party. And it's a no, like, there's no possibility they'll miss. It's a 100% accurate attack that will one-hit KO your entire party. And this is the last section of the game. So, like, this is, again, like, you were asking me why I do not like this game. It's because it's such an unbalanced piece of crap at that point. Because up till then, I think it has a relatively decent difficulty curve. Like, it's not super easy, but with enough strategy and planning, you can survive fairly easily up until the very end. Like, it's not that hard. It's pretty hard for your entire party to get wiped out. It happened to me, I think, once, because I was trying to run away and I couldn't, so I died, which does suck. But then you get to that part, and it's just like, I if you're not prepared, if you're not at a high enough level, you're going to get stomped over and over and over again.
And it is, it is a ball. Like in the original game, I remember, like, you could basically walk around and you get to a bridge and it's like, don't cross that bridge until you're ready. That's the same experience here, because you could cross that bridge and you did. You get killed by a bee because that bee is too strong. It's the same principle here. But it is a big wow, because Chris is right. You are right, because you could basically just crack on and do quite well until you get to that point and you're like, oh my god, that's just hit me for 90% of my health. Oh my god, that was one attack. Fuck. And the grind begins. Like, the fact they know it's coming, because they leave a priest man there for you. It's like, yeah, you son of a bitch, you knew this was coming. And that gets higher. You know, you have to pay more every time a party member dies. It's like, oh my god, this isn't fun. And it that bit wasn't fun. And I don't know why. I really don't know why with the Switch version they didn't just go, yeah, we know that's an issue, we're just going to sort that out. I don't know. I'm not a programmer, so I can't say how easy or hard that would have been. But you think they could have done something. Or just hit this spot and all of a sudden your party gains 10 levels. It's like, oh, that's great. Like, give them a miracle drug or something.
I just think they weren't going to change it, because this game was a big hit in Japan. Mm-hmm. So think of how many people that played this game in Japan, which really what all remakes and ports are for. They're for fans of the original. And the majority of the fans of the original are where? They're in Japan, and they played the original, and they remember beating that as a kid. They probably wouldn't want to have it any other way. So when it comes to rebalancing this experience, no, it's not going to happen, especially for us North American soft nerds. Like, they're not going to do that for us. They're going to do it for the Japanese fans. No.
And this was their big thing, because, you know, Dragon Quest is a hugely popular series. Like, look at your show, what you're doing with the King of Games. As of my listening at the moment, Dragon Quest, all I'm going to say, Dragon Quest is doing very well. That's all I'll say. Everyone go back and listen. If you have not, by the time this comes out, King of Games will be done for the year. Go back and listen to that series and you hear all about Dragon Quest 4.
Five.
But is it five? Sorry, it is five, because it went against another five at some point. It's doing very well. And because Japan love it. Japan absolutely love these games. And I think they are far bigger in the East than they are in the West. And I can understand why, because they've had especially then. They had a great time. And so once you've done your grinding, you essentially go on to the final boss, the final area, and you just fight numerous bosses. And by that point, there's nothing too hard. There's nothing too hard. And you beat Hargon. And then he basically says, oh, I'm not even the final boss. It's Melkoth. And it was like this six-armed dragon freak. I was like, eh, okay. I've not even heard you mentioned at all. And I was like, fair enough. Secret boss.
It pulled a Final Fantasy.
They pulled a Final Fantasy.
Before Final Fantasy existed.
Before they did a Final Fantasy. Yeah, I was like, that's clever. They pulled a Final Fantasy, and I was like, okay. But again, it wasn't too much of an issue just because I'd grinded so much. I was basically whacking them all, and I was like, yeah, it's not an issue. But again, depending, you can make that a challenge whatever you want, depending on what level you decide to go into. So that is kind of, you make the decision how hard you want this game to be. I was in it top, so it was never going to be an issue for me at that point. But I was like, when it finished, I was like, oh, that was a lovely game. I'm done. I'm waiting now till Dragon Quest III, but I'm going to wait till the remake, I think, until I'm desperately waiting for that remake because we've heard nothing about it for a long time.
Yeah, I want it too.
And then I'll probably cover Dragon Quest III then. I know there's 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I will start playing 4, 5. I will start getting round to them at some point. Now, there are other things which I still laugh about with this game. That there is a lottery system, which is just a pain in the ass, pointless.
I hated it. I didn't use it.
No, I didn't like it. So you get lottery tickets, and you can get these lottery tickets you can use at the lottery, and you can pretend you get free items. The funny thing is that these lottery tickets take an inventory slot, and enemies have them. As if one enemy is waiting to basically hope its luck changes. Why does an enemy have a lottery ticket? It don't even know what the concept is.
No. I dropped it really quick. The tickets were stupid, and I don't have any inventory space for your stupid game. And the items I get suck. So, fuck off. I'm good with this.
I am done with this. Two areas I want to particularly talk about is that when you get your boat, at some point you go to the first, you go to Dragon Quest 1, you go to the same land.
Yes, that is cool.
Like, it's a scaled down version, but it's so cool.
And the music changes too, to the original Dragon Quest music. It's so cool.
I was like,
that I loved.
That's a good, and then you meet the bloodline relative of the bad guy from the first one.
Yeah. And he's like totally like, nah, I'm not gonna mess with you. I'm totally like not about that life. But could you like go do this one thing for me? That'd be cool.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. Do that.
I like it. Like, yeah,
am I a bad guy? Nah, I'm not really. That was my whatever. It could have been his dad. Could have been his great grandfather. I don't know. Although it made me think. It was like, what was the hero doing back then? Surely he would have been the mindset, kill the bloodline so they all don't return.
Well. This is something I've seen in a couple RPGs. I think it's just a joke thing, of course. You know, not much thought was put into it, and why would there be? But,
no.
You know, the big bad was killed. And, like, it's the big bad's descendants are just kind of like, you know, well, that sucks. Like, and they're just going to keep on living. Like they're not going to carry on the family name, especially in the olden times. Just kind of like, yeah, you know, my grandfather was the hero defeated. Yeah, he was kind of a dick. Like, did he die? Yeah, totally died. Well, how did he pass on his genes? I don't really think about that. I'm alive today. I don't know. Oh, okay.
Maybe he was asexual. Maybe he basically, he was able to produce the egg himself. I don't know. Maybe it was an egg. I don't know what it freaking was. Not that I know what these demons' DNA or breeding techniques are.
I don't know. Danny.
Don't say it's a game. It's real life, damn it. It's real to me.
No, I was going to ask if echidnas lay eggs.
Oh, for God fucking sake. No, they don't. They're mammals. They do not.
Well, platypuses lay eggs.
Shut up. Yeah, but do they?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're... Ooh, that's a good point. Yeah, but that's more
I thought echidnas were like platypuses.
Yeah, but platypuses... Is platypus a bird or a mammal?
It's a mammal.
Now I'm gonna. Now you put it in my freaking head. I'm gonna have to Google this. And the thing is that
I just wanted to make an echidna for penis joke, and now we're going down which mammals lay eggs. This is great.
Yeah, this is echidna baby. Echidna baby. Right. Oh my god.
I know they're marsupials.
That is not a cute thing.
Does it look like a four-headed penis?
It hatches from an egg.
Yeah. Told you.
There we go. What do I know? Technically, we all do. It comes from an egg. And the family the other day went to this farm, which is about an hour and a half away from here, and they have echidnas there. And, of course, it's called Knuckles.
Ooh.
I was like, well played. Well played.
I like it.
I like that. Now, there is, the one other point of the area I want to bring up. There's a town, or a cave you have to go to. And oh my god, again, I had a guide for this, so I knew it was coming. If you didn't have a guide, this would be the most unfun bullshit you've ever seen in your life. And this cave has constant pits, which sends you down below, and hidden paths. So like a Legend of Zelda bullshit about like which is the right path to go through. Right. Oh my fucking god. That would have been... You have to get every tile perfect, because that would have been the biggest bullshit I've ever seen in a video game. And I'd understand if you were a kid, you would have been grinding through the whole time. And again, this is what Kotaku... I've said the word, making your own map. You would have had to make your own map of this cave, because every step could send you right down, right back to the beginning. And at some point, you need to actually go down, because there's more hidden pits, which make you get the Thunder Sword, which is one of the best swords in the game. It's like, yes. This is ridiculous.
Yes. Well, you also have to remember, kids weren't trying to get a game done in time for a podcast either. So,
well, that is true.
Yes. So they had time to grind as well, and they weren't really concerned. But you're right. It's, as an adult, that dungeon would have been infuriating, not playing with a guide, just because, if you want to get the Thunder Sword, because they tell you about it, again, useless NPC just telling you the Thunder Sword is in a dungeon somewhere, and, okay, but you have to do it through, like, pure shenanigans. It's not, like, a natural thing to find. I get that's, like, a D&D kind of PC gaming thing, but... I don't know. I don't want to assume what it's like to play this without a guide, because I did not. I don't want to assume what it's like to play this game in the 1980s, because I did not. All I can say is I do not want to play that. I do not want to play this game like that today.
I don't want to play this ever again. This game.
That too.
And this is the thing. It's eventually you're going to get a message from your co-host Shane. Is going to go, "Hey Chris, why don't you do Dragon Quest 2? We haven't done that yet on the show." It could happen.
Oh, shit. I would be like, "Yeah, Shane, I absolutely will. Just play it and let me know when you're done." That's how that would go. Let me know.
Yeah, go on, Shane. Have the time of your life. It's the best game ever, Shane. You'll have such a good experience. You're best off doing it without a guide or a map. You'll have a great time.
That's what you did to me, Danny. So yeah, I fucking know the play.
You made me play Bubsy with COVID. So don't.
I didn't make you do shit. I told you it's going to be a bad time, and you're like, "All right, mate, we got to play a bad game." I'm like, yes, you do. And you're like, "Right on." I'm like, "Okay." And then you had COVID and you're like, "This is fucking terrible, mate." I'm like, "Yeah."
I love how you're trying to do my accent as a mixture of English and Australia. Right. Do you want me to teach you how to do my accent? And I'll give you one little phrase. I want to see how you do it. Right. Okay.
Okay. I'm going to do it terribly, but here we go.
So the phrase is a can of Coke and a chicken and a can of Coke. Okay, so you go, "A chicken and a can of Coke."
"A chicken and a can of Coke." That's not how you sound, by the way.
"A chicken." Well, a chicken. I sound like that when I'm on a football pitch, because that's called scouse. Yeah. And when you're on a football pitch, you go from, "Hello, friend, how are you?" to, "Who the fuck are you fucking talking to? I'll fucking knock your teeth out." Bit more when you speak.
You sound... So you turn Arab when you play soccer.
Well, I could turn. There's so many accents. We got like a guy from the hills, and he speaks a bit like this in Yorkshire. Mm. Oh, it's great. And again, I'd love to see. He'd probably do quite well in Dragon Quest. I think his accent would actually come across quite well. I'm like, go west, and find this sword. It's in this cave. Whereabouts? Ah, it's in a cave somewhere. I don't know. Let's go find it.
Oh, I can't do that. That's terrible. If I tried, doing accents like that before, and I've been told I start sounding like I'm South African, which I have no idea how they even sound, but...
They sound like this from South Africa. You got Kevin Peterson, the cricket player. They sound like this.
Yeah, that's probably how I sound when I try to do an English accent. It's fucking terrible.
Now, yes, this wasn't the funnest... Oh, I didn't mind this game. Again, we've had very different experiences of this. I think if I didn't have a guide, I would have been hugely frustrated, I have to admit. I probably would have had a far less time. But I saved this. I had a guide for Breath of Fire, and that didn't help the experience. So let that be known.
I don't know how that happened. I do not. And you brought that up. I didn't. So now I'm thinking, how did you not like Breath of Fire and enjoy this?
Fish head bastard.
Oh my god.
The inventory system was absolutely dick shit crap.
It's worse here.
No.
Yes.
No. What's that item? Don't know. Are you going to find out? You going to give me a description? No. I'm not going to tell you. Okay. I'll just guess. One of the things that I pissed
I'm sure if they made a remake for Breath of Fire on the Switch, you would get a description of the items, Danny. Now go compare the NES version of Dragon Quest II to Breath of Fire and get back to me.
Breath of Fire was even worse, but where the fuck am I meant to go, shenanigans? I was like, no, where the absolute... Yes, it was. I had no sodding... Bullshit. I had no sodding clue. Just two men in a field. Bullshit.
Bullshit!
I'm going to get my daughters. Hiccups is going to come down. Bullshit!
Exactly, she knows it's bullshit. Against you, she's going to side with me on this.
Do you know what? One day, Hiccups will be on the show. She will have her own segments of this show. And I will show her... Do you know what? When she's old enough, right, I will give her Dragon Quest II and Breath of Fire. Because if she becomes me, she will get into retro gaming. I will make her play both. And when we're like 60... We'll have this conversation again. How about that?
Okay.
When Retro Hangover and Retro Wars are in its like 25th and 22nd year, then we'll have a comparison and see where we see. You know, basically, you have your kids play it. We'll have my daughter play it, and then we'll have them going bullshit at it.
I'm down for that. I can't wait until your daughter reads your opening comments on the show. By the way.
She knows what she gets with this. She knows me. Hiccups, if you are listening, the pocket pussy is Oh, I'm a terrible father. I'm a terrible human being.
Oh. We are.
Do you know what? I've actually got in my notes. Right, I've got in my notes. This is how bad I am as a person. Because I was playing this on the Switch, as we said, the Switch version. Now, in the original Game Boy version, if you've not listened to our the Dragon Quest 1 episode, I was playing the Game Boy version. And I told Chris, go load up just a guide, a walkthrough of the Game Boy version. Because it looks like the character's walking around with this big dildo. So I do miss the dildo.
Yeah, no dildo, no fun.
No dildo. And my final note I've got, it's actually the final note I put. I said, making Chris play wasn't punishment.
That's a lie.
And it's, I'm like, I don't know why, but everything else is like, you know, on the next line. There's an actual space. I've left a line of space to make sure I say this.
It was a punishment. I know it was a punishment. I've earned it. For making you play the bouncer and Bubsy, both start with B.
Bouncer, the fucking bouncer.
They both start
bouncer.
With B. It's so weird.
I'd rather
play the bouncer than this. By the way,
no, I'd rather play Dragon Quest. Jesus. Right, before I kill myself and give myself a hernia or something, have you got anything else you want to bring to the table?
No, I just want to burn all memories of this game out of my head and pretend that it's a good game. So I can always keep it at arm's length. So there you go, Dragon Quest II.
If anyone's got Music's a copy... Good. The music is good. Yeah, the music's good. The artwork's good, although the goggles don't make sense, because there's no such thing as fucking planes! There's no planes!
No, no planes. You don't even fly in shit, so, yeah.
Why's he got goggles?
Doesn't make sense. I don't know. Akira Toriyama was fucking high that day. That's what
he really was. If anyone's got any memorabilia from Dragon Quest II, please send it to the Retro Hangover podcast. I just love to see it come in his in a PO box at his door. It's like, fuck you, Danny.
I'll just reappropriate it as just general Dragon Quest paraphernalia. Don't worry about me. Yes, please do send me a complete in box Famicom version of Dragon Quest. I will happily take it.
Do you know what? When I go to PAX in a few weeks, if I see anybody, if I see anybody dressed up in anything from Dragon Quest II, I am making a beeline for them and I'm going to get them to send a message. I doubt that's going to happen, but I will do my best.
If you run into anybody, and don't try to plan this, by the way.
If you run into
anybody naturally wearing Dragon Quest II cosplay, I will double my Patreon contribution.
No, and I don't know anyone who's going. I know one guy, and he ain't going to dress up. I'll tell you that right now. So if it happens, it's natural. I'll be desperately looking now. I'll be like, do you know anyone dressed up as Dragon Quest II? Okay.
Anyone?
Thank you.
Anyone wearing pilot goggles is not about to get on a plane. Steampunk high fantasy? No. Okay.
No. Oh, right. Oh my god, this is amazing. I love having you on, Chris. We haven't even scored this thing. What are we scoring out of 10?
Oh god. I'll be fair and I'll give this game a 4 out of 10.
I'm gonna give it a 6. I'm not giving it a 9, I'm giving it a 6. It was okay. There were obviously glaring issues with it. But it did make me want to play the third. I want to play the third. But as I said, I'm waiting for the remake. Because I think that the remake trailer when it came out was good. We just see nothing of it. But I do want to play that. So yes, I still want more Dragon Quest. And I will get to Dragon Quest 4 and 5. I am very much looking forward to 5 as well. It's on the DS, so I will play it on there.
Let's play it.
Is it on the DS? Yeah, it's on the DS, isn't it?
It is, yeah. You can I think there's an English patch for the PlayStation 2 version, if you know how to emulate that as well.
Ooh! I might have a look at that at some point as well. Well, Christopher, it has been an absolute blast once again, and I love having you on the show, and thank you always for coming on.
Well, thank you, Daniel, for having me on your show once again. It was a blast.
All right, take care, mate. And that was episode 108 of Dragon Warrior / Dragon Quest II. I hope everyone enjoyed it, and thank you very much for all for listening. Chris, thank you once again for coming on. Once for coming on the show? I've gone all German. Thank you again for once more coming on the show. I really do appreciate it. I'll see everyone next week, where hopefully I'll be a bit more chirpy, and I'll have a bit more to say. Take care of yourselves. Bye-bye.